Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 281, recorded on Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
How's it going, Ron, sir?
It's going well. Hanging in.
Yeah.
I've got some nice digs. The temperatures are cooling a little in New York, so
excellent.
Ready to talk about Android.
And also the temperature of your internet connection has cooled too. You talked to your ISP and they actually did something. I'm amazed.
I did. Yeah, no, actually made a level 3 technician call and got some results. We ran some tests. We did some pings. It was pretty nice. We determined the problem. Seems to be going okay.
Nice.
So, let's knock on wood and hope it holds up.
So. Yeah, so far so good. Looks and sounds great. It's great to have you here. Of course, Flo cannot be with us today. She's taking a little time off. She will return next week.
You make it like she cannot be with us. She's just taking the week off. She's
exactly.
She's relaxing. Yeah,
exactly.
So she deserves it after a long, long stint at PC World. She's taking some well-deserved time off.
And we will soon find out what the next step is.
I told her. Now I know what the next step is, so we know. Of course, we know. But I told her because I guess she's starting later this week, or she's announcing it Thursday or whatever. But she's getting married in October. I was like, sister, just wait until November. Like, get married, do that, and then start. But who knows? She can't be. I think she'd get bored quickly.
So. Yeah. Knowing Flo, she probably would. So anyway, she'll be back next week, and maybe she'll have something to tell you guys. I don't know.
Maybe.
But this week, in her place, in her absence, we have someone who I've been following online for quite a few years now, from Fandroid, Chris Chavez. How's it going, Chris?
Hey guys, what's up?
Not a whole lot. I'm stoked to get you on here. You are contributing editor at Fandroid.com. How long have you been with Fandroid now?
I want to say 4 years-ish.
Yeah.
Four and a half. Yeah, it's been a while.
Excellent. Well, it's really great to get you on the show to talk about Android, because that's kind of what we do here. All about it, in fact.
And Chris, you're like OG Android, right? You were like there at the beginning too, right?
Yeah. Since the G1 days, I guess, is what they call it. But making little hacking videos on YouTube and all that weird fun stuff.
Yeah, the folks in the chat room are saying how you were there. You were on YouTube with your G1, and we were here with our G1. So we definitely we're all in the same boat. So
you may have had the G1. I never actually had the G1. I wish I could go back in time and make that my first phone. But my first Android device was the Motorola Droid. So that's where my
I would
started.
Really like to. And we're going to talk about new Android phones later coming up on the show. But I would really like them to reintegrate the rollerball trackball into the phones, because I thought that was a killer bit of functionality in the hardware design. So
it definitely was then. I think we've moved on from the roller trackball thingy.
So bring it back. Now's the time to bring it back. It'd be like retro.
Yeah, that's true. That isn't working out so hot for BlackBerry, though. So I'm just saying.
Good point. Yeah.
Just saying. Well, it's great to have you here tonight, Chris. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to be discussing the end of Nexus. Yeah, we've heard that before, but maybe this time it's true. I don't know. Saving on data with Wi-Fi Assistant. We've got a bunch of your emails. So many people sent us emails about their transition to Nougat. And so we're going to talk about a bunch of that stuff because it kind of covers the bases all over the board. Windows apps on Android and a whole lot more. But before all that, we got to talk about, and I hope you're ready, Josh, on the board, we got to talk about some news.
FIFA's almost here, where I believe phone companies compete in a soccer tournament. Let's hear about it in Android news.
I think you're confused, Josh. Wow. I don't think FIFA has anything to do with soccer, but
It does sound like it, though. I feel like that was really good, Josh. It would have been better if we were talking about IFA in any capacity. But
it's true. IFA is almost here. It's exciting.
I said it was almost here.
All right. Well, at IFA, they do talk about phones and other hardware and things like that. But as Jason alluded to earlier, we got a little bit of rumors going around about the upcoming Nexus announcement from Google. And I wanted to go back and look at previous shows over the years because I feel like we've reported this exact same rumor every year before they announce new Nexus phones. But here we are again. Here's the 2016 version. Our buddies over at Android Central are saying that they've got multiple sources saying that the next batch of Nexuses won't be called Nexus at all. The expected HTC devices are going to hit the market with a different brand name altogether. Google plans to put the Google brand ahead of all else. So once again, we're saying the end of Nexus is coming. Within those phones, we're going to see a vanilla Android phone with additional software improvements on top of it. Could be the reason for eschewing the Nexus name. Who knows? There's going to be a new nav button layout, which we've already seen leaks of. Color scheme, a settings app. And these are all stuff that we've kind of seen little bits and pieces over the past couple of months. And they're likely going to release two Google branded Wear watches as well, too, because they want to keep it all in the family. So what do we think? Do we think that this is actually finally the end is nigh for Nexus, or is this just a hot rumor? Wow. Chris, what do you think?
It's definitely been, for years now, we've been hearing it was like Android Silver and all that fun stuff. I know the early leaks of like the Sailfish phone and all that, they didn't have the Nexus branding on the back. And I think that's kind of what got people's little gears turning and thinking, you know, maybe they're going to drop the whole Nexus branding. But I don't know. It'd be interesting if they did.
Obviously, when you're talking about rumors, you don't know anything for sure until it actually happens. It was 2014. It was 2014 when there were the rumors that were kind of going around that the next Nexus batch wouldn't actually be Nexus, that it would they would remove the Nexus program and replace it with Android Silver, like you just mentioned, Chris. And then, you know, Google, of course, came out and dismissed the rumors, and that didn't actually happen. I think shortly after that, we found out about Android One. And so then it was, you know, which is kind of their initiative for bringing low-cost devices to kind of developing countries.
And that logo for Android One was kind of silverish, so maybe that's where it came from. Who knows?
there was confusion about whether, you know, the rumors were just misinterpreted and that it wasn't actually a replacement for Nexus, but a different effort entirely, and that became Nexus or Android One or whatever, which hasn't been doing so hot. But anyways,
I really want to poo-poo this because I say we've heard this rumor before. Yeah. They put so much into the Nexus brand. At Google I/O, they talk about how Nexus is the core developer. You know, like this is the perfect, you know, installation of Android that we want developers to work against. But then I'm trying to think devil's advocate wise and be like, well, why? Like, what does Nexus mean? Nexus doesn't mean anything. It's just a word. Why not put Google forefront? You have the Apple iPhone. Why don't you make the Google Android phone and just, you know, put all your marketing dollars behind this brand that is multinational and everyone knows around the world, as opposed to having to explain what Nexus means?
Yeah, well, that's a really great point, right? Like Nexus as a word that defines a branch of hardware developed, you know, at least in part by Google, doesn't really tell anything to the average consumer, but it certainly appeals to a lot of the hardcore people, the developers and that sort of stuff.
But it's just what's in a name? Why not just make the Google Phone Developer Edition? You know, like, or Google Pro Phone, or like, I mean, at some point, the developers, they don't care. I would imagine developers don't care what it's called as long as they're getting the stock thing that they can work against.
But this wouldn't be stock. That's, I think, a really big change here. Sundar Pichai actually, kind of teased that this was Google's thinking. I think it was last May, just basically saying, you know, our plan with our hardware is to really kind of bring new features to it. There are, like you said, when you were introducing the story, there are a bunch of these features, things like the Nexus launcher and everything that we haven't seen yet that we're assuming are going to be folded into this based on this news. I guess their plan here, at least based on the article from Android Central, is that instead of, you know, naming it the Nexus phone, it would be branded around found Google, which is very, very familiar to many, many people all across the world. Then Google just has to go through the steps of making it available in the, you know, wider ways than they have. And we know that, at least we've heard, that there's going to be carrier involvement, that there would be a Verizon version of the device, for good or bad, here in the U.S. And that's just one example. I don't know. I mean, Chris, what do you think? Do you think that we're kind of at a point, or Google's kind of at a point, where maybe it wants to go, like, in a perfect world, it wants to go toe-to-toe with something like the iPhone? Maybe they're at a point to where they don't feel like they need to worry about stepping on partners' toes, and they're more comfortable moving into competitor territory. Do you think that's what might be happening?
I mean, I've always kind of felt like that's sort of where they were going with the Nexus. It's just some of the features, the fingerprint sensor, and adding that, and I don't know. I feel like, honestly, with the Nexus, and what was it? They got rid of like the micro SD cards when that was kind of like a big sort of taboo. But I mean, I've always just sort of felt like Google was sort of eyeing this whole, like, the reason of the Nexus, or like the whole meaning behind it, was kind of offering this like direct alternative to the iPhone, but, you know, stock Android in the purest sense. But like you said, they're kind of moving away from that and kind of maybe trying to focus a little more on their own Google services and things like that. But whether or not maybe they'll have like a special, like, pure Nexus Android developer phone, maybe?
They should name it that. So then they make sure to get all the words in there so that there's no confusion whatsoever on what a consumer's getting.
I mean, it's weird, because the problem, for me at least, with the Nexus 6P and the 5X, and before then the Nexus 5, and all on and on and on, I think the problem hasn't been a branding issue. It's been a distribution issue.
Yeah.
It's been mainly that the phone was only available by purchasing directly from Google and all that sort of stuff, and there was very minimal carrier involvement, because that took away from it being the stock experience and all that sort of stuff. If they're going to move forward with a Google phone, I want that announcement to be like, this is the Google phone, and it's available through Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T today. You can go into Best Buy and buy it. You can buy it on our website. And they just go total, you know, kind of full bore with making it available to people, and then really making a push for that Google-branded phone, whether or not it's stock or not, whether or not there's a developer edition or a pro edition that you can only get on the Google site. Who knows? But then again, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see the next round of Nexus phones, and this is just a rumor.
Yeah. And I feel like we kind of already saw that too with the Nexus 6. So maybe they saw that as like a failed experiment, possibly. I mean, they had the carrier versions, and that was sort of just a total mess. Yeah.
So. I had the carrier version of the Galaxy Nexus, and it was not a pretty, like, however long I had that phone, that was not a lot of fun having the Verizon version of that phone.
That wasn't good, but can that be solved? I mean, I know the chat room was saying, someone said, good luck about having the carrier sell a phone without carrier crapware. Maybe there's a Google phone that's got all the Verizon crapware. Like, is there a way for Google to meet the carriers in the middle and say, hey, this is our best foot forward with the phone, add your crap, but not too much, and make it available? I wonder if there's any wiggle room there, or if Google's going to dig their heels in and say, no, the perfect Android, you know, phone you can only get from us, and then you have the stalemate and never moves forward. It never gets the penetration that we assume they want. So
yeah, I know. I feel like if Google is kind of turning a corner right now and saying, let's take our hardware and be more serious about it, let's be more serious about providing hardware options that are totally under our thumb, design wise, experience wise, and market directly to the consumer and take this to the next level coming from us and not being afraid of the competitor aspect of things, I think that's good for Google. But I wish that beyond that, they could do what Apple has done with the carriers, which is just dig their feet in and say, no, we won't do that. We want to offer this and still offer it through you. And I'm not sure that Google can pull that off.
Well, but and that kind of goes back to what you said, is that, well, Apple pulled it off. You know, like, would the iPhone have had the success it had if it wasn't available at AT&T through AT&T at that launch? You know, if the iPhone rolled out and it was only available at Apple stores, would it have penetrated the market as much as it has? I don't think it would. I think you need to have those carriers, and either Google throws their weight around, and maybe that weight is in the form of money and marketing dollars, and, you know, like, there are different ways to tackle this problem from a business standpoint. Sure. And if they're really going to go for it, I think they have to involve the carriers.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's a necessary evil to a certain degree.
Especially when you talk about Verizon.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I know. Hey, where are they going to put that huge V? Where's that V going on this device?
No, it doesn't matter where the V's going. Where's all the crapware going? Hey, Chris, what phone and carrier, what's your daily driver and what carrier are you on?
Right now I'm using the Honor 8, and I'm surprisingly loving it. I almost feel a little embarrassed or ashamed to say that. My carrier is T-Mobile. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. I'm T-Mobile as well, but Honor 8 love. Everyone's loving that phone.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised or ashamed to admit that. I haven't got mine yet, but Flo did bring it in. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week. I can't remember. They all blur together. But it was blue. It was the blue model, and when I saw the blue model, I was like, okay, I have to have that. They opened up the orders last week, and it turns out you can only get the blue version through Best Buy. So I had to order it through Best Buy. I haven't gotten it yet, but you're liking it.
Yes, surprisingly so. Very shiny, a little slippery.
Yeah.
But it's just so fast and petite. I think that's kind of my favorite thing about it is how small and fast it is.
Yeah, and not expensive. Cool. I mean, it's another one of those crop of $400 devices that performs very well. So, and doesn't look like a cheap, you know, kind of throwaway phone.
Oh, not at all.
Very cool. So, okay, so kind of continuing on here, we've got news that I think is probably going to be close to Ron's heart anyways, at least compared to last week's app that he brought into the arena. Hidden feature inside Nougat Code is a navigation bar customization settings page. With that, all standard buttons are removable. With new buttons that can be added, shifted in place, icons can be resized. No clue whether this will be added for all to use in the upcoming Nexus release or saved for a later Android OS revision. Might never see it, but it's hidden in the code. It's tucked away. And if you want, you can. There are actually ways to activate this through XDA. You can kind of activate this and play around with it and customize your nav bar.
Very cool. When people say why an Android phone and not an iPhone, it's things like this. You know, you can customize the nav bar icons. I mean, hypothetically, you might be able to at some point. But even so, like with my app last week, I showed how you could do that with a third party app.
Right.
I mean, it's that embracing of the customization aspect of it, and it's your phone, tweak it as you want to. That makes the Android platform so superior, in my opinion. So I'm glad. I hope this makes it out in a update. Hopefully, not on the Nexus branded only phones or whatever they're going to be called.
Right. So XDA Developers does have a zip. It's actually only for the Nexus 6P. So if you've got a 6P, you can kind of play around with this a little bit. Or you can just install Ron's app from last week. What was that called again? I got to look it up.
What was it? It was
Navbar Apps.
Navbar Apps.
after the show last week where I put in between the buttons on my navbar, I put the poo emoji. Yep. I think I left that on there for 2 days. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I think I'm sick of staring at poo emoji.
At some point, the novelty of customizing your nav bar goes away when you're using the poop emoji.
Yeah, got to be careful.
Being able to control what it does, and actually I laugh because my app in the arena this week is a similar theme, but being able to control what that does, I think is super powerful. So that's less about the poop emoji and more about controlling what it does and what it looks like. So.
But seriously, an All About Android episode, it wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about poop emoji at least once. So there we go.
Exactly. Right. Okay. So, all right. Well, quickly moving on. Project Fi, one of the great things about Project Fi from Google is that they've got a Wi-Fi assistant app that lets you kind of manage the Wi-Fi access points that the phone uses. And now Google is bringing this Wi-Fi assistant to all Nexus phones or whatever they'll be called. Which really is going to bring some data savings for Nexus users. So basically, when you're using the Wi-Fi assistant, it will allow you to automatically hop to an approved access point and save on your mobile data consumption. Basically, if you have a Nexus phone, just go to Settings, Google Networking, and then toggle it on, and that any access point can be forgotten to prevent connecting to in the future. It's a really nice little bit of stuff. Chris, have you gotten to play with Project Fi at all? Or
I had it when it first launched, maybe for like a month or so, and I didn't really care for it too much. I felt like it was sort of defaulting to Sprint's network. I don't know if that was some sort of agreement they had originally or something, but my girlfriend was also on T-Mobile, so we were able to compare data speeds, and it seemed like it would favor the stronger connection, but maybe not necessarily the faster download, you know, down and up speed. So I didn't really care for it too much. After that month, I kind of got rid of it. But I liked the app, and you know, managing your data and all that stuff was fun. But yeah,
it's fun. Actually, it's funny because managing that Wi-Fi connection, that data connection, like I don't know if I want to leave it. I have a hard time leaving Wi-Fi on. Like I only want to turn it on when like I'm going on Wi-Fi. I know it's on an access point that I trust, and having the app kind of control that would make me worry that you're not getting the strongest connection that you think you are. Like the app thinks it is, but turns out there's a lot of people on that network and it's really slow or whatever the case may be.
Man, I don't even think about it. I just leave that Wi-Fi activated at all times pretty much. Unless
I don't think I ever turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm still PTSD from the years ago, the poor battery savings years ago, when I was lucky to get 4 hours on a charge. And, yeah. You know, like turn off Bluetooth, turn off Wi-Fi, turn off location, turn off.
Yeah, that's so, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. For good reason. I keep checking my settings to play around with that and check it out, but it's not in there yet. So it must be one of those things that's being, you know, sent out to phones. Gently over time or whatever, but I have not played around with Project Fi. I was super charged up to get into it when it was initially announced, and then I realized like I don't travel enough for it to be beneficial. Although since we moved into this new studio, literally at my desk, T-Mobile has like it's not even zero bars; it's like empty. Yeah. Empty
it's
bars.
Negative. I want to think what the negative of having no bars would be. Is that like you're
like normally in that little triangle you have a solid thing and then bright solid bars. Mine is completely empty, which means I don't see anything.
Offline. We talked about that last week, and a lot of people got to me on social media to explain it for me. And it's something to do with the band, the spectrum, and that T-Mobile doesn't have presence. I forget what it is. I'm trying to find exactly what somebody said on Twitter, but a lot of people talk to me. But basically is that T-Mobile is not on a certain spectrum that Verizon is on, and that T-Mobile is working to get to that spectrum. And once they do that, then we'll be able to penetrate in indoors a little better with T-Mobile.
Man, I hope so. It's horrible. Do you have issues with that at all, Chris?
Not at all. I mean, I'm actually really surprised all the times when T-Mobile has kind of kicked Verizon's butt. Sometimes when we get like review units and whatnot, they'll have like a Verizon SIM already inside, activated, unlimited data. So, you know, you get to go around the city and you get to test them, different networks and stuff against each other. And I've just been surprised at how well T-Mobile has been, I guess, performing against Verizon. There's sometimes when Verizon, I'm getting barely 3G and I still got 4G LTE on T-Mobile. So, nice. I mean, this is probably like a uniquely LA thing, but it was very surprising.
Yeah. Here I found it. Somebody on Twitter actually told me, they said T-Mobile starting to use the 700 megahertz frequency, which penetrates buildings. Verizon is mostly on 700 as well. So that explains why Verizon is able to do it and why. And Jason, we talked about it. I go into a building with a lot of, you know, deep into like the basement of a club or something like that, I get nothing. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what I get. And I'm not even like deep into the basement of anything. It's like ground floor. There's one office on the other side of this wall and then open, you know, and then windows out into the world, and I get nothing. It's so annoying. Like, especially because of two-factor authentication. I have two-factor enabled on Twitter, and they don't allow you to use an app for two-factor. It has to be SMS. So anytime I want to log into Twitter or Nuzzle or whatever from my desk, I have to do two-factor, and then I have to walk to the front door and hang out there and wait.
Jeez.
And there's a way for it to like secure the connection and then send it to my phone, and then I can log into Twitter. Jump through so many hoops just to log into Twitter.
So many.
Whatever. Hey, we've got a video mail. We got a video mail from Christoph. Love getting video mail. We weren't able to play it last week, so we went ahead and threw it into this week's show. Christoph, what do you have to say for yourself?
Hi, AAAQ. I was wondering if the feature that's on the Galaxy Note 7, where you can write a note on the always-on display, exists for other AMOLED devices like my Nexus 6P. Love the show. Goodbye.
I like that. Straight to the point.
Very succinct. He has a question. We heard it. Goodbye.
Exactly. And unfortunately, I don't know that we have a good answer for this, in the sense that I don't think that there really is that. Like I did a call out on Twitter. I did some searching. Somebody mentioned the Yotaphone. You remember the Yotaphone? The Yotaphone 2 with the ink display on the back, something along those lines. But even that, I don't think is the same thing. I mean, it's not.
Isn't that functionality the Note 7's kind of competitive advantage? Like, isn't the whole point that no other phone does have that? You know,
Yeah, like I don't know if I'm willing to say 100% that there is no phone that doesn't that you know, that doesn't do that. And Note 7 is the only one. I think that's the case. But if you guys know of one that does this sort of thing, definitely email us at AAA@twit.tv. Marsworm in chat says the LG Stylus phone. Is it the Stylus or Stylo? Let me look that up. That is a good question, actually. Because it's a nice feature, right? To be able to, I mean, let me see here. Vamp for a second. or not. I don't know. I'm looking into it right now. But
while you look that up, hey, Chris, are you part of the Samsung Note 7 fan club? Everybody seems to be loving that phone. Have you got the
No, everyone really does. I mean, I have an Edge. I have the regular S7. And I kind of put those, you know, away in my drawer for like the OnePlus 3, which I really enjoyed, and now the Honor 8. Just not really feeling the whole TouchWiz thing. I know it's getting better. They always say it's getting better, but it's just I just can't get behind it. To some about it. I don't know.
Wow. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
But it's, you got to admit, it's a nice piece of hardware. I mean, like the waterproofing and all the pieces together. I agree with you. I'm in your camp. Despite my recent coming around on the Samsung because the Note 7 just looks so nice. All the stuff about Samsung that they put on the phone is what turns me off to it. So
yeah, it's definitely got all the bells and whistles. The entire package, the kitchen sink, they've thrown everything they can at that phone right now. And it's,
normally, our co-host Flo, when she's on the show, she's actually the president of the Samsung fan club. Normally,
she wears a pin.
She actually has a Samsung mascot costume that she wears to events. But we're trying to get her to come on air wearing it, but she won't do it. So we'll see.
Oh my goodness.
I'm thinking that the Stylus 2 doesn't have something similar to the, because I think the question specifically here is with the always on display, with the AMOLED display, where it every once in a while, you know, lights up just the pixels, kind of similar to what the Nexus 6P does when it's off for a while, and then it kind of flashes the information on there. With the Note 7, you can still use the S Pen to draw on that, and it'll, you know, activate those pixels, and you can write a note without any sort of friction. I don't believe the LG Stylus does that. Yes, it has a pen, and yes, you can write with it, thankfully, because what use would it be if it had a pen you couldn't write with it? But I don't believe that it does the always-on functionality. So the answer to the question, I believe, is no. But hey, someone's going to correct us if I'm wrong. But there you go. Okay, so before we get into kind of your experiences with Nougat, I want to thank the sponsor of today's episode. It's the Ring Video Doorbell. I actually have one right down here. This is not my front door, but imagine if it was.
And you'd have a very tiny house.
Yes. Here, come into my home. Here's the door. If this was my front door, you would see this at the front because I have a Ring Video doorbell set up. And you would push the button and it would ring and I could see you through my phone. That's the beauty of the Ring Video doorbell. And not only is it just cool technology that when people come over, they're like, what is that? That's really neat. It also helps you to prevent your house from getting burglarized. There's a home burglary every 13 seconds. Most burglaries happen in broad daylight. And usually burglars will ring your doorbell to make sure that you aren't there before they decide to break in. Make sure that you aren't standing there with a bat or whatever. Ring Video Doorbell has been proven to stop burglaries before they happen. And that's because you can see and speak to anyone approaching your door using your smartphone. And don't feel guilty if you're home and you still use your phone to answer the doorbell. That's okay. It's one of the advantages of the Ring Video Doorbell. You don't have to go to your door anymore. Now, Ring is using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with their Ring of Security kits. Kits include a Ring Video Doorbell and may include a stick-up cam, a solar panel. There's the chime, which is like the bell, and we have one of those. We put it in the living room so that we actually get a bell sound, and you know, we don't have a built-in doorbell chime in our house. So we got the Ring chime so that we can hear it out loud. And if I don't have my phone on me, I still hear it. So that's nice. And solar security sign. Pro kits include a slim video doorbell pro. There's crystal clear 1080p HD video. There's also night vision, so you can see it at any time of day or night. It's hardwired, so it never needs to charge. The wireless and weatherproof HD stick-up cam can also keep an eye on other parts of your property, not just your front door. That allows you to hear and speak to visitors with two-way talk. You can plug the Chime in, like I said, into any standard power outlet to know when you have a visitor, even when your phone is in the other room. That connects over Wi-Fi, so when somebody pushes the button, it just sends it to the Chime and you hear it. The illuminated solar security sign deters intruders before they get to your door. Just half the battle right there. The Ring video doorbell and stick-up cam install in just minutes. It really does not take very long at all, and they give you the tools to do that. And working together, they provide 24/7 monitoring of your entire home, whether you're in the living room or thousands of miles away. It's just a really cool setup, and you can protect your home right now. Check it out for yourself and see what it's all about. Join the millions of homeowners who protect their home with Ring. For a limited time, All About Android listeners can get up to $150 off of one of the Ring of Security kits. Just go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid to check it out for yourself and protect your home. And we thank Ring for their support of this show and the Twit Network. All right, so we aren't going to go into hardware, so you don't need to play that bumper, Josh. We don't have hardware this week because we got tons of emails from you guys because you're so excited that Nougat rolled out. Before we get to the emails, Chris, I have to imagine at least one of the many devices that you have in your possession is running Nougat, or maybe you were doing the dev preview prior to that. What do you think so far?
It's nice. I mean, I've been playing around with it every since the DP1 release or whatever, and it's really fun. It's different. I feel like it's fresh enough that it warns, you know, it warns the whole 1-point upgrade or whatever that they have. It's awesome. It's really nice. I have it on my 6P right now, and it's kind of I use that when I'm at home on Wi-Fi, and then when I go out, you know, I take like the Honor 8 or whatever. But it's very, very nice. I love Nougat.
Yeah, I'm really I powered on our Nexus 9. So we have two Nexus 9s, which are basically the kids' tablets at home, and both of them had an update immediately. And I don't know, it was just like, I was happy when I did it because my eyes are so used to the new notification kind of presentation now versus the old one, which it's so interesting to me. Like we've all been doing Android updates for long enough to know and recognize it. And this is just the way of the world when it comes to technology and smartphones, that in the moment things look so cutting edge, but the minute something new is introduced, you end up looking back on that thing that looked cutting edge. And you're like, man, that's ugly. And like, I look at the old notification style now, and my eyes are just, they're permanently altered. I'm like, man, I just do not like the look of the old notifications.
It's funny. It's the new shiny thing. And yeah. And I agree, Chris. I did it. So after the show last week, I did install it on my Nexus 9 tablet. It's running great on mine. I feel like it's enough of a change to notice the good things. But it doesn't really feel like this is brand new and you need to relearn everything. Like it feels like the proper evolution.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week, but I did apply to the Nextbit advanced beta group and I got accepted.
Oh, congratulations, Ron.
I know. And I actually have a system update downloaded and ready to go on my phone, but I'm going to do that after the show because I didn't want to have a problem before the show.
Yeah, probably so, smart. Yeah.
So, but I need to talk to them to see what I can talk about, but I'm hoping that it's I get early access to their Nougat integration and we see what Nextbit has to offer.
So. Oh, that's true. They might have some sort of agreement in there that if you're running the beta, there's only so much you can talk about. I don't know actually, but yeah, definitely check with them. I'm curious to see what the Android Nougat improvements, you know, how those fuse with what Nextbit has done.
Yeah, but enough about us. What did the community think?
Let's do this. Let's read some of your emails. Wayne M. from Australia wrote in, said, I've been keeping across the Android N progress from previews to the stable release, and like others, updated to N stable in the past week. Nougat. At this point, you can go ahead and call it Nougat. Although I have that habit of calling it Android N too. After monitoring N over the past few days, I noticed something strange with battery behavior. Apps I completely forgotten about and hadn't used suddenly reporting that they were using 12 to 15% of battery. At first, I thought the issue was with apps that haven't been compiled or optimized with N, so I started to uninstall them, then started noticing that Android system and OS consuming large amounts of battery, 40 to 45%. A quick Google search instantly indicated it's widespread and was first reported in Preview 3. Users have reported reverting back to Marshmallow resolved the issue. But you're not going to want to do that because it's the next big, you know, the next thing. Like, no one, that's never a solution.
Is there anything sadder than rolling back to the previous OS? Like, oh, I guess no, we can't use it.
I guess I'm just stuck on Marshmallow until they fix this problem. Android, he says, Android always seems to be plagued with some sort of battery issue, with Marshmallow coming close to being the most efficient so far. And I would agree, Marshmallow was really good at being battery efficient. I'm a little surprised that Android N has a battery issue considering the improvement with Marshmallow. And one of the main features slash selling point of N is centered on battery. Keep on keeping on with a smarter battery, as it says, doze on the go, that sort of thing. Maybe the rumored 7.1 release slated with the release of the new Nexus devices may resolve this issue. Is that just wishful thinking? I've heard these reports. There are definitely there's a Reddit thread with a whole lot of people that are sharing, you know, horror stories on their battery consumption. Fandroid, you guys had an article about this. Actually, I think it was a poll on how many people. I didn't look at the results. I put it in here. I meant to look at the results. Let's see here. And you said, so the question was, my battery life on Android N has, and the top voted answer is decreased noticeably, 48% with 572 votes. Chris, are you super aware of this issue that's plaguing a lot of the readers of your site?
I remember, what was it, on Marshmallow, there was kind of like a similar issue where, you know, there was something just killing battery life. Almost feel like every Android release you have that first initial update, there's gonna be some weirdness going on, and for some reason it's always battery life. But I haven't noticed it on my phone at all. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, all my old apps installed. I didn't do a fresh wipe. Usually I do that whenever I jump to like a major firmware upgrade or whatever. Didn't do a fresh wipe, so it still has all my 130 odd apps on there, and I just kind of let the phone sit there, and it's been good. I mean, it's lasting like 3 days with doze and all that funness. But yeah, nothing too weird for my device at all.
These are always so challenging because everybody has such a wildly different experience. My experience has been great. I feel like there's been no hit on my battery and it works.
He didn't mention what phone he has.
That's true. Right? That's a good point.
So I wonder if it's something to do with the hardware. I don't know. So I'm just speculating, but there's so many different phones out there. Maybe that's why so many people are having a different experience, because the operating system is working differently with the processor. I don't know. I'm fishing for a reason.
No, but, I mean, that's a good point. Yeah. He didn't mention that. I mean, he's using one of the phones that had the previews, so that limits it down to, you know, primarily Nexus. There were a few non-Nexus devices that had some developer previews, but... I'm guessing it's probably a Nexus device, just because so many of the fans of this show do have the Nexus devices. Yeah. So I don't know the answer. I'm sure this will be addressed at some point, maybe with the 7.1 release, which in all actuality probably is not that far down the line. We know that part of Nougat is going to be regular updates and not just security updates, but they're going to kind of roll these out on a more regular basis. We know that if the new Nexus devices are around the corner and that they have certain requirements for the system, things for like assistant, whatever, that it's very likely that there will be an update to Android OS in order to facilitate that, or maybe it'll be rolled into Play services. I don't know, but you know, it's very likely there are testings going on right now with 7.1. So I would imagine if there are these issues, and it seems like there are a lot of people reporting them, it'll be addressed hopefully sometime soon. But doesn't that suck? It sucks when that happens.
And Chris is right. I feel like every time this rolls out, there's a battery issue in the first week, and then eventually people stop complaining about it because it gets addressed or fixed. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. On to the next email. Matt from Detroit writes in and says, because I upgraded from the preview 5 of Nougat to the official Nougat.
He said Nougat, by the way. We're getting some serious pushback on use of Nougat versus Nougat. Like, some people are just like, seriously, it's not funny anymore. Stop it. It's Nougat.
So in our defense, Matt wrote in his email, NOUG-AHH. So there you go. So he updated from preview 5 to the official. He says, I was fortunate to be one of the people experiencing this bug where the night mode in my notification bar is still there and still functional. People who wipe their phone or updated from Marshmallow do not have night mode. I know a lot of people really wanted this feature, so I find it interesting. I'm sure that this feature will go away the next time I wipe my phone, but it's fun while it lasts. And he's referring to the ability to within the notification bar to have the night mode, you know, just tap it and flip on night mode. For people who want this, if you don't have it, there is an app called Night Mode Enabler in the Google Play Store that can give it to you. And I got to imagine there's going to be other versions and other kind of, you know, especially now that you can put things into that notification pane. I imagine we're going to see a whole bunch of different apps doing things like this. So there it is.
I have it because I was on the dev preview. So I imagine, like he says, if you're on the dev preview, it'll probably roll over. Maybe it'll disappear at some point if they aren't including it. Why wouldn't they? I don't understand why they wouldn't include it at this point. I mean, it's there. It works. Maybe it's
unless there's something we don't know about. Yeah. And that's why it's not in the final.
Maybe
you know?
That's what's killing the battery on these other phones.
That's a very good point, Chris. Yeah.
The fact that it's there or the fact that it's not. I mean, because it's on mine and my battery seems to be okay. Yeah. But God, you just never know. It's like all these things combine and you never know what you're going to get out of the end. But I don't know. I didn't really use the night mode. I end up using the app Twilight is what I use to just kind of do that automatically. I don't know. Have you played around with this at all, Chris? Night mode?
I don't really do any of the night. I know that what is it like on iOS? They have the
Flux.
Yes. And I don't I usually don't play around with my phone before I go to bed. So I know this is kind of like a big thing with those types, you know, before they go to bed, they want to check their emails. And
yeah. I'm one of those types. Unfortunately, it's probably the last thing I should be doing right before I go to bed.
Yes. Yeah.
But man, it's like I'm plugging it in and I'm like, well, before I plug it in, and then 10 minutes later. Yeah. Anyways, I guess having that baked in the system is going to make some people happy. But I'm cool with having it all scheduled with Twilight. Although I think even on the baked in version, there is some sort of scheduling that you can do. I don't know if I can get to that now after the update. I think maybe that's not as easy to get to. Let's see here. Dave Duncan writes in. To AAA@twit.tv, by the way, to say, I just upgraded my Nexus 6P to Nougat, but I was disappointed to see that after the update, the very long optimizing your apps for Android stage still occurred for me. Did the planned feature to eliminate that time-consuming optimizing step after each system update not happen? Or did it just have to optimize things to the Nougat format this one last time and I'll never have to see that again? I hope you'll never have to see that again. I did not see it when I updated, but that maybe there was a difference between me being on the developer preview and then moving over. But even when I was on the developer preview, I still felt like I saw it. But maybe I'm misremembering it. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't see it when I did my Nexus 9 at all. It was fast and seamless, but I was running the developer preview. So maybe that's why. Or maybe he just reinstalled Marshmallow and isn't aware of it.
These notifications don't look like Nougat. And I'm assuming, yeah, well, you said you were running the developer preview on your 6P as well, Chris. So you probably didn't see it as well, right?
No, haven't seen it in a while, actually. That's one of my big, big frustrations with Marshmallow is just all those system updates and it just became like before, like previously in older versions of Android, you'd see like, oh, I got a system update. Woo! Mm-hmm. But now it's like you got to kind of put it off. Like, am I going to be driving around town and right. It's going to be updating or upgrading 130 apps? It's just like, yeah, it became a pain after a while.
Yeah, big
but
time.
Haven't seen it.
Big time pain. I can't remember if Leo was in the developer preview on his 6P or not. I want to say that he wasn't, but I could be wrong there. But I was here when he got the update to roll it over, and he specifically did it, and he's like, am I going to see the optimizing apps? And I waited. We both waited to watch, and sure enough, when it was done with the little Google animation logo, it popped right to the home screen, went directly to it without optimizing apps. And, oh, it's so nice to not have that. So I don't know why you are seeing that. Let's hope that you don't see it the next time. Basically, why that's going away, they've improved parts of the ART, the Android runtime, so that it's faster and to eliminate that. So it should be doing that. I don't know why it's still showing that for you, but hopefully that'll be fixed.
All right, our next one is a little rough here. Jonathan writes in and says, I'm debating whether to blame you for this.
Uh-oh.
Since you guys got me hooked on Android and turned me into an early adopter, I jumped on the Nexus bandwagon and always highly anticipate the updates. Okay. I had the beta version of Nougat. Now I can't even say it normally, man.
Sorry, Ron.
I had the beta version of Nougat on my 5X, and it was working fine. That is as well as a 5X could work, given the constant lag. But after downloading the official release, my phone completely died. It worked for almost a day, actually, but crashed a few times. Then I woke up, and boom, it was dead. Could not get out of boot mode. Google's providing a replacement, but I'm without a phone for 5 days, and I'm having withdrawal symptoms. I had to watch this week's episode on my computer, which, by the way, was nice to have all three of you there, but not the goat guy. Nah, he's all right. Just not good for the arena. I agree with you. Anyway, my main point... Oh, I love Mateo. I hate the goat, but I love Mateo. Anyway, my main point is that when talking to Google via chat support, which, by the way, was awful, they said... Yeah, I got a story, too. They said a lot of people were calling about this issue. I haven't seen much about it online, though. I'm thinking about upgrading to the new release and selling the Mint 5X when I get it. Should I do that or switch to the next bit? Ron, what do you think? And so he's referring to these reports that the Nexus 6P and the 5X are bricking after the OTA update to Nougat. And there's actually, Jason, did you find this link in the help forum, the Nexus help forum?
Yeah, I did some. I did some searching around. And
you did some research, yeah. So in the product forums at Google, somebody brought this up, and the best answer came from somebody by the name of Techno Bill, who I guess he's a helper. But basically, he explains the issue, why it's happening, why it's not doing what it should be, and that basically he's highlighting this issue to Google. But at this point, he's recommending return it for a warranty replacement. So it sounds like it's a pretty bad issue. As far as Jonathan's specific thing, we've talked at length about the problems with the 5X. I would say selling it and getting a new phone like the Nexbit would be a great option. I don't know if that's what I would do, but it sounds like you're getting a brand new phone that maybe you could sell and get your money back and try something else. So,
yeah, Nexbit or the next non-Nexus device.
Yeah,
devices,
if you can wait. But he needs a phone, though. Listen, yeah, I got to tell you.
That's true. Good point.
I got to tell you, you know, I feel like I've been given so much free advertising to Nexbit, but Jason, you, me, and Flo were emailing, and I was lusting after Nexbit currently has a red version of their phone for $299 on their website. I guess it's Ember. That is a hot looking phone. I don't know, Josh, I don't know if you can pull it up, but it's, I think it's nexbitsys.com or just nexbit.com. But yeah, if you got $300 to spend, I strongly recommend the Nexbit. But there's also the OnePlus. There's a lot of different low cost options.
The Honor 8.
Yeah, the Honor 8. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, here's the Josh. I'm putting this in the chat. You can pull this. This is a sexy looking phone. Let me tell you. I don't know what it is about red phones. You give me a red. Remember, I wanted that the red Nexus 5 really badly. I never got to get it. But that's just a hot looking phone. Scroll down. It's like
sports car of a phone.
Yeah, the back of it is red and black. I really like it. Yeah, so
yeah, that is nice looking.
Someone asked me if my Nexbit Robin was a Japanese phone, as they thought the color scheme looked like a Japanese phone.
Out on the street, like yeah, stopped just, in the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Yep. So there you go. A couple of options. Yeah, I mean there are reports of 6Ps and 5Xs bricking after the OTA. Unfortunately, hearing this more often about OTAs bricking. It happened to my Nexus 9. It happened to your Nexus 9, Ron.
Yep.
It's a bummer when it does, because it really can be very inconvenient.
It's not the kind of thing that you can just hold down the power button and fixes it. It's the kind of thing you got to sit down and actually work to fix, or in this case, send it back for a warranty replacement. That sucks. Being without a phone for 5 days is not acceptable in this world.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you're out without a phone for 5 days. Although I secretly wish that I could do that. It would be nice to take a step away from the phones for a little while and just understand what life was like before I always had the world's information in the palm of my hand.
Yep.
I don't know. Let's see here. Finally, Mike says, hearing Gina complain about her 5X inspired me to give you a quick update on mine. This is like the opposite opinion here. I'm now on my third 5X, fourth, if you count the one FedEx lost. That's a nightmare. In the 2 months I've had this latest one, I've restarted it due to lagginess only one time. And now with the N update, it is running buttery smooth. It took nearly a year, but Is that all? But I think we finally have the phone we were all promised. I've had my eye on other phones, but I can't give up the awesome fingerprint scanner. Your mileage may vary. And I think that last sentence is very true. Your mileage may vary. But I'm really happy that you finally, after a year's worth of trying, found a version of the Nexus 5X that you are happy with. Did you spend much time with the 5X at all, Chris? Because I know it just... lagginess and performance has been an issue for a lot of people with the 5X.
Yeah, and that's kind of like my kind of like a sticking point or something I just won't put up with, and that's any kind of lag or just delays or any of that stuff. And when I went to the Nexus event last year, they gave us the 5X and the 6P, so I think maybe having those two side by side, it maybe just kind of ruined the experience of the 5X altogether. But I didn't really keep it around for very long. I think I ended up gifting it to like a family member or something. But recently, once they started doing the whole Android N developer previews and stuff, I was crossing my fingers thinking, well, maybe things are better now. You know, so let's give that a flash. And I repurchased it when it was on sale not too long ago for like $230. Flashed the N preview on there, and that didn't really help things very much at all. So I had to just end up just reselling it again.
Yeah.
So. It sucks.
Yeah, the 5X was... maybe we would think a little differently of it if that was the Nexus device and there wasn't the 6P to compare it against when it actually hit. But even then, I mean, a bad performance is bad performance, so we would have probably been pretty critical of it. But yes, definitely side-by-side with the 6P, it did not do so hot. But apparently, to Mike, N seems to really make it scream. So, like you said, your mileage may vary. So that's what you had to say about Nougat. I love it. We got a bunch of email and we were able to get a bunch of your feedback on the show about Nougat, because who doesn't want some Nougat? Because
that was really awesome. The fact that we didn't even really prompt everybody it just came kind of flooding in. It's kind of, it really feels like this communal thing that happened to all of us, even though I haven't gotten it yet. Yeah,
everybody's so super excited. Once it hits, everybody wants in on it. All right. So let's chat a little bit about some app news.
All right, so this little bit of news actually comes thanks to Chris over at Fandroid. Google is shutting down Device Assist. Chris, what can you tell us about the story? What's going on with Device Assist?
So Device Assist, I believe it rolled out last year with Marshmallow. It was one of these, it was kind of like a tech support app for people that purchase Nexus devices.
Yeah.
And you could go in and it would give you tips, and I think you would even be able to chat with the support or something if you're having any issues, but it was pretty neat. And then out of nowhere, I don't imagine too many people were using it, but they kind of just shut it down, and suddenly people are kind of upset and sad about it, even though nobody was using it.
But I believe when this came out, we praised it. We said, this is great. This is Google, they're making things to, connect to the users and streamline the experience and help people. So why kill it? That's so weird.
Yeah. Originally, people were thinking it was going to be sort of like a live support type deal, like on the Amazon devices and stuff. You just push a little button inside the app and be immediately connected to someone who could screen share and troubleshoot whatever problems you're having, battery life issues or bricks or whatever. it didn't really pan out that way.
Yeah, Amazon had that. God, why am I blanking on the name of it? But they had the feature, or have the feature, that you can actually connect with the video.
Oh, that's so weird.
SOS?
Of the support. Yeah, maybe it's something like that. It's something along those lines. I know, my Google Foo is failing me right now. I'm just getting support number.
nice.
But yeah, no, it was super cool. Actually, I was on This Week in Google the week it launched, and on the show we decided to call support. Mayday, there we go. Thank you, Bleak. It was called Mayday.
There it is.
And we decided to call support on like the day it launched during This Week in Google. And it was actually really cool because we got a cool person, got to ask him some questions about the service and everything like that. But I mean, it was tied to Nexus devices. And you could see this being something that maybe would be super helpful if it was rolled out to more devices than just that. But I don't think.
But that's a scaling issue, though. Like, I could understand why they would roll it out to Nexus users so that you have a control group and you can manage the, you can see what the rate of use is and the influx of support and all that sort of stuff. And then I guess either, you know, after a year or two, say, okay, this is a great idea. People are using it. Let's expand it. Or people aren't using it. It's a waste of resources. Kill it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that the minus the live support aspect of it, a helper app with tips and things like that could be useful for the average to, I don't want to say below average, but to the novice user. Just take out the live support aspect of it where there's actually a person on the other end of it. You know, I think that could be something that, you know, once you create it, you just leave it there. But I guess that's another bit of code you got to maintain and all that sort of
maybe
stuff.
Maybe they'll roll this into Google Assistant or something down the line.
Maybe.
A real assistant with your Google Assistant. Can I help you? The AI was not able to help you. Can I help you? Is your display not working? Yeah, possibly so. Some people in chat room are wondering if this is another example of Google's ADD when it comes to supporting the things that they roll out. I have a feeling that what you were saying, Ron, is probably accurate, right? Like, yeah. It was probably just a matter of, like, resources. This is not the kind of thing that takes limited resources when you're talking about staffing people for support. I don't know what the reality of that is, but you're probably preparing for a lot of reaction to that. But then you're just targeting it to Nexus devices. And by and large, Nexus devices are pretty much bought by people who are enthusiasts anyways and think they are smarter than Google. So why would they call Google?
I think that's a generalization. I think you can get the grandma who sees a deal and buys it, and you know, that's what, you never know. I think that's a mass generalization, but yeah, you're probably right. There are a lot of people who know what they're doing on the Nexuses. But going back Going back to Google's ADD, I don't think it's a matter of them having ADD about supporting things they roll out. Everyone I know that works at Google and all the interactions I've had with folks at Google is that, much like Amazon, they're a very analytical company, and they're going to make a decision as to whether a product exists or doesn't exist based off of usage. They're not going to just go, it doesn't seem like everyone's using it. Let's kill it. You know, they're going to say, no, this is how many people we have using it. You know, it doesn't make sense to, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't justify the resources we're putting into it. Yeah. So it's got to have some business intelligence behind it.
For sure. And Google loves its data, so of course they would do that. So real quick here, Google released a new app, and we usually, you know, we don't put Google's apps in the arena because they usually walk away with it, but I will show it to you real quick here. It's called Crowdsource. All right, this is kind of perplexing to a certain degree. So here's Crowdsource. What is Crowdsource? Crowdsource is an app where you can help Google. Basically, so image transcription. I go in there, and a lot of what you end up getting are like street signs or whatever, and you transcribe it. So it's like you get to choose to do a CAPTCHA.
I was just gonna say, is this also fueling CAPTCHAs?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. So I would see this, you know, this chicken scratch. This is a handwriting scribble. And I would translate in D-I-V-A-K or whatever that word is. There's translation. If you happen to be versed in other languages, you can set it up so that you can, take translations that were provided by somebody. Well, you can provide translations, step one. And step two, you can validate other people's translations. So somebody offers this and then, you know, they say that it's this. Was it really? And validation. And then the fifth one is... I can never find anything in this, but it's some sort of maps kind of translation capability. The strange thing about this is there's no real incentive, and not that there needs to be incentive for everything in the world, but if Google wants people to actually offer their time, then there should be some sort of reason why they would do that. Google has loosely said, well, you'll do it because we offer really great services and this will make it better. But I think for the majority of people, that's probably not going to be enough for them to like load up this app and like do translations of things just because they think, you know, that it might make things roughly better. So it's an interesting app. I don't know if this is like too early to tell exactly how Crowdsource is going to be used. I don't imagine it being super duper successful if there isn't some sort of like Google Opinion Rewards type incentive. You get a lot of people doing those surveys on Google Opinion Rewards. So I don't know. Are you guys going to do any translation or anything like this in your spare time? Is it?
No.
No.
I have better things to do.
Yeah. Not likely.
Pretty much. All right, there we go. So that's Crowdsource. If you are feeling super ambitious and you want to just spend some time helping Google out, there you go. Now you know how.
All right. And if you're also feeling super ambitious and you've got the desire to run Windows programs on an Android tablet, the solution now exists. Crossover for Android has got a working preview available in the Play Store after a whopping 3 years of development. Crossover is basically a commercial version of Wine, which is an application that allows you to run Windows on other platforms. In fact, I use Wine on my Mac so I can run a specific Windows program that I need for a project without having Windows on my machine. So Crossover does something very similar. It works on x86 Android tablets as well as Chromebooks that are able to run Android apps, meaning you can turn your Chromebook into a Windows PC. More or less, if you want to.
You turn your Chromebook into a Windows PC using an Android app.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Inception, man. Yeah. You know?
My brain just exploded.
A little bit.
But cool. Need to finally have that for sure. I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, I actually have a Acer Chromebook 14, by the way. That's what I'm using right now on the show. So it's not the same, the Chromebook Pixel that I normally use, the first generation Pixel. So I'm playing around with this. Having Android apps on a Pixel device is pretty neat. I just don't know with the Chromebook that I necessarily feel the need for Windows apps on here. Like I'm missing out on something, but you might have a specific case. Like
I was just gonna say, yeah, there's like I've got my specific use case is that there is a application to access the ROM files of pinball machines coded in the 90s, right? And the guy who did it just did it on Windows, and that's it's a piece of shareware that's out there. And so it's the kind of thing where like I would love to be able to access that. So I ran Wine on my OS X, and now I can do that, and I can poke around the ROMs and do all neat fun stuff like that. So I imagine if I needed to do that on an Android tablet, this is my solution. You know, it's like those specific little bits of development that for whatever reason only exist on Windows, or in case you want to run some sort of Microsoft software that's not available on Android.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to go on a tangent here because I'm very curious. What can you do with a ROM from a pinball machine? You still need the pinball machine, right?
Yeah, yes and no. But now this is a much longer conversation, Jason. But
I've never heard of this before. I've heard of it in like arcade cabinet sense, but
well, yeah, no. So similar. So actually, now you're gonna get me talking about pinball machines, and I won't stop. But the machines in the 90s that were the generation before the generation we're in now, which started to embrace a dot matrix display and have animations and things like that. Those all were contained on a chip in the ROM. And these programs, people have extracted the ROM, and now it's a package, and you can access it. And there are some. So, long story short, Bally Williams, which did the majority of the pinball manufacturing in the 90s, very quickly shut down at the end of the 90s. Like I think it was 99 or 2000. Very quickly shut down, and unfortunately, some games were released that weren't finished. So there's a game called Cactus Canyon, which is a fantastic game, but there's things on the playfield that just don't do anything because they never finished the code. So people have taken that ROM and they've finished it themselves.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. And so there's a non-commercial version of Cactus Canyon. It's called Cactus Canyon Continued that you can, with a whole bunch of other different hardware and stuff like that, which I won't get into, you can then install on an existing Cactus Canyon machine so it plays with a complete set of code. But then also the ROMs are mainly – the main reason why they're used is because there's virtual pinball, which is an app that allows you to play pinball on an Xbox or on a computer or whatever. And let's say you want to play Attack from Mars from the 90s, you load the ROM like you do. It's basically MAME for pinball. People kit out these big like kind of like they'll make a virtual pinball machine where it's a big vertical display with the buttons and everything, but it's running software.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. That was the missing piece. I was like, okay, so you've got the ROM, but it's meant to be fit inside this huge mechanical thing with all sorts of moving parts and stuff. But so I'm sorry, this is a tangent, but I find it fascinating. So then fans of this have created kind of the front end for it in a digital sense, match the ROM up with that. And now you've got an emulation of the actual, that's cool. That is really cool.
I'm trying to find a good photo to show you an example of it. But yeah, I mean, it's neat. I mean, it's not the same. Like,
yeah,
I'm a big,
of course.
Yeah, here we go. Here's one. If I can find it's on Photo Bucket. Didn't Photo Bucket go out of business? There you go, Josh. You can throw that up.
Chat. Oh, yeah, it's in chat.
If it loads, yeah. It's in this. I mean, the thing is that, and the thing about pinball is that it's a kinetic physical. you know, I can move the machine and adjust the physics of it, or you lose that with a virtual pinball, but it's neat.
So, okay, and what I'm looking at right now is, sorry, this is just a world I didn't know existed. I love it. So what I'm looking at right now is somebody has a virtual pinball cabinet that has a huge display that stretches out. That is so cool.
They took a monitor and just rotated it, rotated it to be portrait instead of landscape. And then now, you know, and so that's the play field, but it's just running the display of the MAME basically. You know?
That is awesome.
That is really neat. Oh, I want one of these so bad. That is so cool. I don't know where I'd put it. I don't know.
And virtual pinball is a whole platform. So you can build out one cabinet and put it in the display and be able to play any game that you can get the ROM for. So,
man. Yeah. The internet is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
The fact that people just like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Like, that's
a lot of time on their hands.
I love it. Thank you for spending all that time. That is so cool. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry for the tangent, everyone.
That's like the first generation of where we've gotten to. And when I was on the Screensavers a couple of weeks ago, my buddy Jeremy came on and he showed off his VR pinball, which is basically just the flipper buttons and the plunger that plugs into Oculus. And then you play VR pinball. That's a whole other thing. So,
that is really cool. Crossover for Android was released. So there you go.
And so you could do this. Basically what you could do is you can build a pinball machine with an Android tablet running crossover, running virtual pinball. So there you go. Dang. That's how I brought it all back.
Yes. So. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's really cool. All right. Real quick, before we get to the arena, one last email is if you haven't had enough. We've got a lot of feedback today. I love it. Trent Moody in recently relocated Auburn, Alabama says, I was having trouble with my LG G4 fast charging. I realized the problem. After a lot of research, different chargers, and having lots of anger issues, I have found that the problem is essentially that I am using my phone too much, sometimes 6 hours. The phone is overheating, and the phone will not fast charge after it reaches a certain temperature to prevent the battery exploding. I wanted to recommend Ampere, Ron will recognize this, as a good and simple real-time battery monitor. It gives you the charging speed, phone temperature, and other data that could be helpful in troubleshooting. And maybe if you're using your Android phone as much as I am, a Chromebook with Android apps would be a good thing to look into as well. But you brought Ampere, I can't remember when it was, but into the arena a while back.
It was a while, at least a year ago or so. It won the arena, if I remember correctly. But yeah, Ampere is a great app to not only monitor your battery's life, but also gave you like a quality rating on how well your battery's doing, as well as how good of a cable you have. Because you know, a lot of cables, you get a wide range of results from USB cables, and Ampere helps you whittle out the ones that are slow charging. The heat aspect of fast charging is something that's a real deal. It's interesting, and I didn't realize it was happening. So I'm going to keep an eye on my phone with fast charging to see if I'm experiencing the same thing.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. I'm realizing I haven't started any work with the poll, so I'm going to dance around doing doing app demos.
We'll go into the arena. I'll do the recap from last week, and then you can do the poll.
So. All right, sounds good. Yeah. Ron's got this. Right. Let's do the arena.
So Josh, let's go into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Okay, so last week was episode 280, and we had both myself, Jason Flo, and Mateo in for the arena. And sure enough, gosh darn it, Mateo wins again with Goat Simulator, Waste of Space, receiving 41% of the vote. Josh, it would be great if we pulled up the thing so you didn't see my big face. So the poll, there you go. 41% of the vote goes to Goat Simulator. Coming in second was my app, Navbar Apps, 22%. And coming in third was Conscient, Jason's app, which came with 21% of the vote. And finally, Flo's Weather Quick Settings tile only got 15% of the vote. And what that means is that through 34 weeks of this little here show, our guests are currently in the lead with a whopping 11 wins. Flo is in second with 9, and Jason, you and I are still tied at 7. This is just unprecedented, folks. We've never seen an arena where the guests have run away with it like they have. Wade County in the chat room, who's our statistician who keeps track of the wins and losses. I would really like to find out how many times I have come in second to the guest, because I feel like it's every time we have a guest, I come in second. So that's just for my own edification. You can get me another time, Wade. There you go. But so Goat Simulator wins again, unfortunately. The dang Goat Simulator.
I know, right?
Yeah. Jason, is that enough vamping for you?
Yeah, you did good. All right, cool. Ron, I'm all proud right. of you.
Thanks.
You did it.
I tried.
You got me there. It's a bare bones poll this week. There's not going to be an image on it, but it'll be where you need to find it. But that's neither here nor there, because we haven't even gotten to the apps yet. So let's see here. I am the big loser. I'm the big loser last week. That is at least returning. I think Flo's app was the one that actually lost, right? But
yes.
But I'm here and she's not. So that means
you're the second loser.
All right. So let me make sure I'm in the right. I'm not sure if I'm happy or sad about that, but whatever. Okay. Finances. Yeah, I got you, don't I? Budgeting, accounting for your own personal finances, all the stuff that makes your eyes glaze over. I hate this stuff. I feel so frustrated when I sit down, when my wife and I sit down and we sit down to do the budget, because I get overwhelmed by it, right? Like all of these different buckets where my money's going, or over here, over there. Are we saving? Are we not? Oh, man, overage, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I just hate it to no end. So I want a tool that's going to help me do it, and it's going to make sense on a day-to-day basis, so that I don't have to sit down with a spreadsheet at the end of every month and go through the whole thing and be even more confused and just angry that I'm not good at it. YNAB. It stands for You Need a Budget. This is an app that I've only recently gotten into. Now, this is fake information here. You're not seeing all of my financial information here. This is created for the show. But basically, what is YNAB? It's a specific budgeting tool that once you go all in on it, you sync over your accounts. As you can see, I've got a dummy account in here that would pull over. But you could sync all of your bank accounts. You could sync your credit card accounts, all that kind of stuff in here, so that it imports in real time as you go along throughout the course of the month and the year and all that kind of stuff. So it pulls all that stuff in, and it can analyze, you know, things that are added to your account. Let's say your paychecks, where they came from, all that kind of stuff. Things that pull out of your account. You got a charge for Roundtable Pizza. That was $30. What category does that fit into? I put it into dining out. So how does this all play in? There's a little bit of setup that you have to do through the website. So you'd have to go onto the website and really kind of set up your budget to begin with. They give you some categories to kind of put things into, and then you really go through and you pick out all the things that you have, how much money you're making every month, how much money you want to spend or you have to spend on rent. Let's say your rent is $1,000. That would be $1,000. I think if I go in there, I had it as $1,800, and hey, I made my payment for $1,800. And so it's removed from here. That's no longer outstanding for me. Electric bills, always $40 a month. Water, 10, blah, blah, blah. You go down here and you see dining out. I only want to spend $220 every month on dining out. Here it is. How is that helpful? Well, I'm out and we decide, hey, maybe we want to go, you know, go eat at this restaurant. Do we have the money? Well, we look in here and we see that we have $220 left over for the month. Great. So as long as we don't spend all our money there, it's within the budget. So I'd add a transaction, expense, we'd eat. Oh, that was $45. Cool. Pay, where did it go to? I'm not going to enter in something new. So let's say I really like Roundtable Pizza. And it automatically recognized. You see, I put in Roundtable Pizza. It recognized it as dining out because it's already memorized in there. So I do that, save transaction. And now you see, I went from $220 to $175 left in my dining out category. You do this throughout the course of the entire month, and I'm telling you, this thing is going to help you save money. It's going to help you save up for vacation, put things away for, you know, fun money for spending, all this kind of stuff. You can set up goals. So if you have a specific goal, like I want to buy a guitar in 3 months, you can set up a goal in here, and as long as you've factored it in and you're playing with the money that you actually have, in the course of a month, and you have it all set up properly, then you just kind of follow this. And the beauty of this, and the thing that I really like about it, is operationally on a day-to-day basis, it's really easy to, if it doesn't automatically add those transactions in for you, it's really easy to come in here and add them. But what happens here that I didn't get with spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff is, let's say I don't spend all of the money that I had budgeted for clothing. Let's say I only spent $20 of that, and there's a 20 left over there at the end of the month. Using YNAB, it makes it super easy to actually put that $20 to use instead of it just getting lost in your account. You take that $20, you filter it over to vacation, let's say, and as long as you action on that, that $20 is actually useful. It's not just lost in the into the ether. It adds up over time. It accumulates. It's really blown me away. And I've only just started using it, and I'm really excited to use it going forward, and I wanted to show it off. It's called YNAB, You Need a Budget. I think they have like a 35-day free trial to where, and 35 days because it's a full calendar month. It gives you time to kind of move things over, get into the routine of using it and logging your spending as you go along. And then at the end of the month, you can kind of look back and see how you've done and everything. And then if you want to pay for it, I think it's like $50 a year for this. But I'm really blown away and I'm loving it. And I don't know if you have issues being overwhelmed with finances like I totally do, like I hate the stuff. Something like this is going to make it a little bit easier for you and help you achieve goals. That's kind of what you want to do with your money, right? Put it to good use and not just lose it along the way. And I feel like YNAB is going to help me do that. So there you go. YNAB, You Need a Budget. All right. Hopefully I've saved you some money. See? And that means that like I'm saving you for the next year. And you can keep voting for me as a thank you. I'd appreciate it. Okay.
In order to keep voting for you, that insinuates that they had to have been voting for you. And Jason, we're in rough shape right now.
Yeah.
We've only got 7 wins. It's just not good.
I know. We got to fix this. All right. So, Chris, you are our guest. You're up next. And I've got not one, but 2 phones in order to show off. I might stumble getting there, but I'm going to try and show off your app for you. Tell us a little bit about your app pick this week.
It's called Inkwire, and it comes to you from Clockwork Mod, who you guys probably
big fans
seen
of that,
his work. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what the app does is it allows you to share your Android screen with somebody else or for someone else to share their screen with you. And it's so painfully simple that it just works. It's kind of neat. Now the purpose of this would be, if you have like a family member, grandma or whoever, maybe they're not too tech savvy. Maybe they're having problems or issues with their phone or a specific app or what have you. They can share their screen with you. And you can see it's going through the little setup process there. And you can sort of draw on their screen. You can tell them what they need to tap on, what they need to check out. And it's just so, it's almost crazy how well it works. It's still in beta right now, but painfully simple. I think you can draw on the screen. He just added in the most recent update the ability to see the screen on your desktop computer from the website, which is pretty neat too.
Well, look at that. Over here, I can draw on the screen and it sends it to the sending phone. Oh, because like if this is my phone, this is the phone for dad, and he's like, I don't understand what this icon is. That's crowdsourced.
And do that, and I mean, it's sort of like the position I feel like that where most Android users are in, where we're kind of these evangelists telling everyone to go out and buy an Android phone, and they get overwhelmed or just kind of confused with it, and it's sort of our job to provide tech support more than often. So
awesome.
This app does that, and it's so nice.
Nice. That's really cool. Now it did kind of flake on me a little bit. I blame Wi-Fi here in the studio, which is very challenging because we have so many signals bouncing around. It's also in beta right now, so you have to understand that it's kind of improving over time. But the promise is really cool, and it was very easy to set up. It just gave me that access code. I punched it into my Nexus 5, and boom, the screen was sharing over. That Kosh, he makes good apps.
He's good. He knows his Androids.
He knows his stuff. That's for sure. So that's called Inkwire Screen Share and Assist. It says on the Play Store page that it's unreleased, but it's definitely there. It's not unreleased because you can install it, but it's beta. So give it a chance to improve slowly over time. And that's what Kosh does. So excellent pick. That's awesome. I had not checked that out before. And finally, Ron, you are up.
Yes,
there.
I'm back in the nav bar. I don't know why I'm obsessed with the nav bar these days, but here we are. So my app this week is called HomeBot. that allows you to customize the home button. And basically, so if you've got, if you're running Android 6 or higher, you've got that little circular home button, that little circle home button in the middle of the nav bar. That when you tap it, it takes you back to the home screen. And when you long tap it, most of us have Google Assist enabled. So it does the screenshot, you know, that thing right there to search it, you know, the screenshot search. That was a feature that when they announced it, we're like, this is going to be so cool. And you can search anything on the page. I never use it.
Never
use it. It just hasn't taken off. I don't know why. But HomeBot allows you to take back that function of holding down that home button and do something else with it. So once you open up the app, you need to go into settings and you need to give, basically you need to change your Assist app from Google app to HomeBot. So now once you've done that, HomeBot is your assistant. And when you go into HomeBot, go into the app itself, what you can do is you can choose what you want to do. So if you want to launch an app or launch a shortcut or open a web page or toggle your flashlight, which is always the key thing. So now when you long press that, it should turn on your flashlight on the other side. It's turning on, isn't it?
Yeah,
there it is. Yeah, yeah. So they can't. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, see, there it is. Thank you. Proof. You can also use it to the bottom function, which I think is great, to toggle brightness. Which is great because, you know, it's and you got to allow it to modify your settings to do that. But it just basically allows you to empower that long press on the home button and do something with it, which I love. So let's say you mainly use, you know, your phone for Twitter or for whatever. You want to fix the brightness there. Sorry about that. You can go to launch app and on the first one, hit the first button there, launch app. And then it gives you a whole list of all your apps and you can choose which one you want to do. So let's say you want to, launch Chrome or whatever it is, or Instagram. You go to Instagram. I'm always on Instagram. So, and then you can, yep, pick within the activity within the app itself, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So you can choose.
There we go.
Yep. So now when you long press it,
boop.
So it's important to note that it will still, when you short tap it, it will still go to the home screen. It has to do that. But we're talking about this long press on the home button. So there it is. Very simple, small little app that gives you more control over the buttons on your phone that you didn't think you had control over. Another reason why I love me the Android platform. So it's HomeBot. It's free in the Google Play Store. And it's give it a shot. It's pretty cool.
Excellent. Okay. So
Isn't it crazy how none of us use that assistant? Chris, do you use that assistant at all?
I've tried, and there's some like Reddit threads or like subreddits that I go to where they'll post like a picture of a hot chick and her name, and it's like it always works super effectively for finding celebrities, you know, whatever. Right. But other than that, I feel like it just never really works for, you know, the way I really want it to. But only in those cases, I guess.
See, I find that it's actually pretty good, more or less, with getting the context of the screen that I'm looking at. I just never think to use it. When I do, I'm like, that was easy. But it's never top of mind to be like, this would be the quickest way to do the thing I'm thinking of right now. Instead,
it's a speed issue. The long press and then having it, you know, circle the screen and then do the search. I can look something up faster. Like it's not. The demo was great, but I've not been able to integrate it into my day-to-day use at all. So.
Yep.
And now I never will. So there you go.
ever. All right. So if you want to vote, and I'm sure that you do, right? Go to bit.ly/AAApoll281. bit.ly/AAApoll281. Place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it YNAB? You need a budget. Is it Inquire, Screen Share, and Assist? Is it HomeBot? Customize Home Button. Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week, and we'll see if Chris, no pressure, has what it takes to keep the guests in the lead. Because this is a crazy year. Like we don't know if we ever expected this to happen, but here it is. It's upon us. You guys have been bringing it, so good work. That's it. That's all we got. See you guys. No, just
we
kidding.
Did it. Good night,
Chris. It's a pleasure getting you on. Thanks so much for coming on the show tonight.
It's been fun. Real fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We need to have you back. Tell people, I don't know, what you're working on, where they can follow all your awesome work online.
You can find me every day on fandroid.com, where I'm always writing up stuff, reviews, features, how-tos, all that fun stuff. Or on Twitter, where I like to spend my social life. It's at GamerCore. And yeah, you can chat and stuff.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. It was a pleasure getting you on, and we will definitely have you back soon.
It's great being here.
Excellent. Ron, what about you?
All right, yeah. So you can go to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/RonXO, and you go to about.me/RonXO, where you can find all the links to my social media stuff. But hey, I'm going to be on the Screensavers in a couple of weeks on September 10th. I'm going to be back in the Bay Area. I'm going to be doing the Screensavers. I'm going to be back doing AAA Live that week as well.
Nice.
But if you've got Android questions, if you got any Android-related questions, if you got any home theater questions, if you got any pinball questions, if you got anything that I might be able to answer, please email them in. I forget what the email address is, but I'm sure you can go to the Twitter website and find it. You guys know what you're doing. But please, yeah, represent and give me some content to talk about on the show. That'll be a fun time. So
yes, please do. Yeah. I think it's newscreensavers@twit.tv, but you know, don't take my word for it. Is it newscreensavers@twit.tv? I'm going to go ahead and search this for you. Yes, it is. Right. newscreensavers@twit.tv with Android questions or all about Android, because I usually end up hearing from the producers of that show close to the show, like, do you have any good Android questions? And I might have a few to throw their way as well to add into the pool. But thanks again, Ron. What about you, Josh? The Mac and Josh, as you are known in social circles.
Yes, that is true. You can find me on Twitter at The Mac and Josh. You can also find me on Instagram, the same username there. I'm actually surprised how many people are using the stories on Instagram. Like when they started the stories.
Dude.
What the heck?
I've observed the same thing. Snapchat has dried up and everyone is over on Instagram.
Why? Wow. I thought everybody was complaining that, oh my gosh, they're the Snapchat clone and Snapchat, they're not doing it right or whatever. Now, like, everybody's there.
Yep.
So
because everybody's already there? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. I get more views on Instagram than Snapchat.
Do you really? I should start using the stories then. Okay, wow. All right. I'm going to start using the stories. I'll try to do something interesting, I guess.
Yeah, you better.
I will. Now the pressure's on.
Yeah, I know. We place a lot of pressure upon you, Josh. But you did great today.
Thank you. You guys did too. I'm a big fan.
Well, big fan. Maybe someday I'll TD your show. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Music, yellowgoldmusic.com. Oh, hey, hold on. Before the music. Sorry. Sorry, because I have to get this in. The East Side Studio. Obviously, we're in a new studio here. We're live. And we're celebrating. We've got a bunch of East Side Studio tagged stuff. If you want to get in on the action, we have custom t-shirts, we have mugs, hoodies, stickers, all with the East Side Studio logo. We're super pumped, and they look really good. This is for a limited time only, so make sure, and if you want to get in on this, go to teespring.com/twit, and you can find some of the merch that we have for Twit right now. We do a lot of kind of like limited time things, limited time designs, and right now is the logo for the new studio. And every time I walk into the new building, up on the front glass door, there it is, emblazoned with East Side Studio. It just looks really cool. So there you go. Check it out. teespring.com/twit. Okay, now you can play the music. You are clear. That is it for this week. Voicemails can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us email or video mail. We'd love those. AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com, and we appreciate your feedback there. Show notes and past episodes, everything that we talk about, can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes, of course, all the places you expect to find podcasts. And you can catch us live every Tuesday around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We will see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.